Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this first Sunday of July, July 7th. Hope you had a wonderful week. We had a full week. We had, of course, July 4th. We had the huge barbecue in Waverly at the community center, and nearly 400 people came out to eat with us. And we gave away a lot of pork sandwiches, and it was wonderful. And enjoyed some fireworks that night. Boy, Waverly and Lincoln, full of fireworks everywhere you go. I mean, like a war zone, everybody shooting them off. We were trying to drive through, and it was pretty crazy. But people love their 4th of July around here, and or at least their fireworks. But we had a good time that day. We finished up the Chosen TV series on Friday night with our movie night, and then a men's breakfast yesterday morning at Hy-Vee. And so thank you for everybody who's come out and been a part. It's been a full week for us here. And then, of course, our high school, 30-some-odd high schoolers were at Covenant Cedars Camp last week. This week, it is the middle schoolers' turn, and so we keep them in our prayers as they go out to Covenant Cedars today. And we pray that God would just meet them in that place and that they would grow in their faith and their walk with Christ. We have in 2 weeks coming up here our baptism service. We have 5 different people being baptized at Chris and Kathleen Both's house, where we'll have a grill out and they have a pool in the back. So we'll have the baptism there. And so we invite you to come out at that. It'll all begin at 6 o'clock. At Chris and Kath's house. If you need directions or more information, just contact me at the church, and everyone is invited to come on to this. It is a good celebration and also just a good chance to be together. And then looking forward, we have reserved the Waverly Aquatic Center, the pool here in town, and Splash Park and everything. We've reserved that for our church on the evening of August 10th. So mark your calendars and bring your families out, and we'll have a one last hurrah before going back to school. And so keep that on your calendars as well. Okay, if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to James. We're going through that this summer. We've got a couple more lessons that'll come out of James. The one today is James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And I'll warn you in advance, it's on patience. Maybe that's an area that I know I need God in. Maybe you need him too. So James 5, 7 through 12, it says this: Be patient. Be patient, my brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. For see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and the spring rains. You too, be patient. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, or you too will be judged, for the judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, and as an example for patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. Or consider Job's perseverance, for you've seen what the Lord was finally able to bring about for him. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And above all, my brothers and sisters, don't swear. Not by heaven or earth or anything else. All you need is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, we're condemned. So James opens his letter way back in chapter 1 with an encouragement to the scattered, persecuted believers who were undergoing big trials. Life as a Christian was not easy for them. But he told them to consider it pure joy when they face trials of many kinds, because God is at work even in those times, even all the more in our difficult times. The Lord is using that, he would say, to accomplish his purposes in us and in the world. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. For standing the test, they're going to receive a crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Well, James begins his letter with that, and now, near the end of his letter, he brings up trials one more time. He begins and he ends with it. He knows that the struggles that they're going through are big, and so he encourages them one last time in his final chapter to endure, to hang in there, to keep on keeping on, to have patience in the face of suffering, and to pray. Patience and prayer. Now, I'm not sure that I'm very good at either of those, patience and prayer. When you're an anxious person like I am, patience is tough. Your mind begins racing. Your thoughts are creeping in. Every what if and worst case scenario gets into your mind. The fears start mounting up that everything's going to fall apart or is going to get worse here. And the pressure to act, it just comes right on you immediately. You're tempted to go in your own strength or understanding, but that only seems to make things worse when we rush it or we push it. But I can tell you, I am growing in Christ. It takes a while, but I'm learning. I'm learning that God is in control and I can trust him. I'm learning more the beauty of restraint and the call of God in those moments to just be still and know he is God. It's a call to patience and to prayer, to wait on the Lord and know he's going to come through, you know, and that things can be tough. Even things we deeply care about can be affected. But God keeps reminding us in his word that he cares even more than we care. So we can trust him. And he's not slow to act, as it says in 1 Peter, but he's patient with every one of us for just that right time. The word patience in the Bible is first defined as long-suffering. Sometimes that's what it feels like. It's about enduring. It's about not giving up. It's about waiting on the Lord. It's about not losing faith in those moments. It's also the very first word that Paul uses to define what love really is. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, he says, "Love is patience and it's kindness." Of all the words that God could have used to define love, patience was on the top of the list. But that's the kind of love the Lord has had with us. He's been patient with us. Patience and endurance is also what we see in Jesus and what we're encouraged to follow. In Hebrews 12, 1-3, some of my favorite verses, it says, "Therefore, since you're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily can entangle us, and let us run with perseverance," or the word patience, "the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured," again that connection to patience, "endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of God." It says, consider him when you have to dig deep. Consider the opposition that Jesus endured so that you don't grow weary and lose heart. Patience is love. It's trust. It's seen in the character of Christ. It's about not growing weary and losing heart. It's about looking forward to the greater things that God is going to do, salvation and his return in heaven and how God's going to somehow use this for good. It's pressing on towards the goal. It's enduring and perseverance. Hebrews also says it's throwing off the things which are tripping us up or entangling us in that race. It can be sin in our life that's only making the journey harder. It can be anxious thoughts or doubts or getting caught up in all the worries and wants of this world. It's saying there in the Bible, to get to the finish line, you're going to maybe have to let go of some things that aren't helping you, but only hindering you. So patience, you see, it's not doing nothing. It's not just it's not complacency at all. It's not inactivity. It's an active patience. It's an obedient walk with God. It's trusting and hoping in Him. It's keeping our eyes on the Lord, which requires some work. It's keeping our eyes on the prize and not giving up. I love how Galatians 6:9 puts it. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." In other words, you might not see the fruit yet, but keep tending to the tree. Keep watering the plant. It'll come. Patience is perseverance. It's continuing to do that which we know God has called us to do in His Word. Even if we don't see the results right away, or even if it's been a long time of famine or persecution or prayer, it's keeping on and not giving up on God, but trusting in Him, trusting in His time, that He will do as He has promised. He is faithful always. We're just supposed to do our little bits and trust Him with the outcome. So patience, you see, is not hands off. It's not doing nothing. It's continuing to do that which God has called us to do, not growing weary or losing heart when the outcome doesn't immediately come. Another verse I think about when it comes to patience is Philippians 3, 8 through 12. In these verses, Paul writes words from jail and a good perspective on his sufferings. He says, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For Him I may have lost all things," he says, "but I have really gained everything, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, but a righteousness that comes through faith. For I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings." The fellowship of Christ in our sufferings that helps us endure. Paul says we become like Him in His death. What does he mean? He means that there's a greater closeness to Jesus that only comes when we're going through the tough stuff, when we lose everything else that we thought mattered. There's a deeper place, a higher ground, a closer walk with Thee, a becoming like Him in the deaths we've all had to face in this life. The troubles and trials and sufferings and hard times that every life has to endure. This is when we find God. In the waiting, in the hoping, in the searching, in the patience and trust and digging deep in our faith. Sorry, I'm turning off my phone there. I think that's the first time since we began this whole time of YouTube and streaming our videos and our sermons and everything. First time I think my phone went off during one of these recordings. But hey, it happens. And so I just turned that off there. But there is a closer walk with Jesus that can only come in those times when patience and perseverance is required, when we got to dig deep. That's what Paul is saying. He says, man, I gladly want that more than anything else. And so in those trials, I'm coming to know Christ even greater. Know that our shepherd is going to walk you through the valley. Know that the cross that you must bear is going to also lead to the resurrection. He meets us in the sufferings and He leads us through the fire. And that's why Paul says, this is what I really want. This is what is greater to me than anything the world's got to offer, than all the comforts or the eases of life. I gladly trade those in for an opportunity to know Jesus even more than I do right now. And then he says, I haven't obtained it all yet, but I'm pressing on to take hold of that which Christ has taken hold of me. Paul is able to persevere the trials because Jesus meets him within them. And that fellowship with the Lord that he's found there is greater to him by far than anything that he has lost. He'd rather have the trials with Jesus than a life of ease without him. And sometimes that good stuff just comes with time. We have to let God complete His work. We can't rush the process. We don't grow overnight, do we? But neither do others. And so we got to have patience. We have to let God grow the fruit, develop the vine, trim the trees, prune and look after things as He knows are best. We have to have patience to see the good things that God is accomplishing right now. And it's getting harder and harder to have patience these days when everything around us is always so instant and we expect things today so much faster than ever before. Our ability to hang in there and wait and be still is decreasing. We can't even sit in a waiting room or in our house or in the car or anytime at a light. We can't sit without turning on our phone. We want to see results now. We don't know how to wait a month or a year even or a few years for something that's worth it. To be still, to be silent, to pray. We're always doing something. It's just in the way we do life today. I think about how different it was a century ago. What people used to work hard a lifetime to build, a home, a farm, or a business, or a relationship, or whatever, we expect right now, today. But things don't come immediately. And we don't value them as much when they come just right now as things that we've had to work hard for or wait for. Those things are treasures. But to have muscles, you got to get up and go to the gym every day for years for those. To have knowledge, you got to study and research and ask professors and elders and take time to be with God and His Word over a long time. You got to go through some stuff to really gain some wisdom. You're not going to grow in maturity in a day. You got to stay in the Word and keep coming. After a decade, you won't believe how much you've changed, what God can do. But you got to stay with it. Got to stay with Him. Whatever it is that He has called you to, you can't have a better relationship with your spouse or a deeper relationship with God overnight. And healing takes time. A ministry, a church doesn't grow in just 1 year. The good things are for those who wait. So just keep at it. It's not always going to be exciting. It may not always be encouraging. At times, like it may feel like you're going backwards. You're not. Don't grow weary or lose heart. A harvest is coming to those who wait. A few things I want to point out from our scripture. One, notice that James says, be patient, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. And then in verse 8, he repeats this and says, be patient and stand firm because the Lord's coming is near. And then James even mentions how the Lord is the rightful judge and standing at the door, which is an expression again that means the Lord is near and God's going to right every wrong when He returns. I wanted to point out these verses for us here to see that James is speaking about something consistent with all the other New Testament writers in that time. The Bible says over and over again that God won't right every wrong until Jesus returns. But trust Him, Jesus will return. And at that time, we all are going to have to stand before Him. And evil has its day now, but one day it won't, for every person must stand before God. This is something that the people of the Bible, they looked forward to, and something I think we need to regain in the church today. That hope of Christ's return. Our hope as Christians is not that we're going to create the perfect world. We won't. We must always strive to do better, to be a greater light, to show better love, to speak truth, to serve the needy. We must do the things that the Lord has called us to do. But understanding that this side of heaven, we will never see utopia. If our expectation is that we can change the world and make it like heaven, we're going to be very discouraged in life. If we believe that everyone should just believe in Jesus and do the right thing and get along every time, or that you know, if we just vote in the right politician or the right law, it's going to make peace on earth and our policies are going to overcome evil, we're going to be daily disappointed and discouraged. It won't happen. And at the end of our life, we're going to wonder, what in the world did we spend our time doing? The world is worse than it was before. We're going to be tempted to give up along the way and caring or loving people or trying to be good or witness or invite people to church or serve the poor, because we're constantly discouraged by the outcomes. Our expectations are that we can somehow create this perfect world. If we're doing it to try to get a perfect world instead of doing it just simply out of love and obedience to our Savior Jesus, who gave his life for ours, we're going to be discouraged every time. But if we do it for him, we're going to be encouraged and blessed. We got to remember that in this world, there's always going to be sin, always going to be the poor and war and rumors of wars and oppressors and evil dictators and people who hate God. And there's always going to be famines and sickness and death. Jesus said, don't let your hearts become troubled. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you also. But blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We believe and look forward to another world of which we are already citizens of. When everything around us seems to get worse, we keep looking up. Our hope is in Christ, not in humanity. And we look forward to the truth and return of Christ. We look forward to the crown of righteousness of which he will put on our head. We look forward to the treasure in heaven, not down here. Our peace comes from Jesus, not from the world. In this life, we don't expect it to be easy or everyone to want to follow God or that our life won't have any sufferings, illnesses, or conflict. No. We're going to lose faith if we think that. We understand these things are going to come. But our hope is in Christ, and we keep looking to him. Keep looking forward to that next world of which we are already a citizen of. God spoke to me a number of years ago about my expectations. In the Bible verse that says, the God of this age has blinded the mind of unbelievers. And I realized that I was becoming discouraged when people didn't believe or do what was right or choose Jesus or come off to church every Sunday. But then I read this verse and I remembered that in this life we're blind. People are blind. They can't see. They won't do what's right without first an opening of their eyes and a changing of their heart that only Jesus can bring about. And their heart isn't open yet. And so why would they believe or obey if they don't have Christ? And so I needed to be more patient with unbelievers as God has been with me. I needed to pray and love and keep on speaking the truth to them even when they refused to hear it, in the hopes that maybe even just one at some point, at some time, might listen and believe and allow the grace of God to change their heart and fill their soul. So don't be discouraged, servants of God. Keep loving the Lord every day and pray. For the world is not holy. It is evil. But you are the light of the Lord, a witness down here for what God can do, a sinner saved by grace. You are hope, a little bit of hope in a dark world. You're the hands and the feet of a loving God in a cold world. So stand firm. Keep your eyes on him. Keep doing what Jesus has called you to do for him. And looking forward to the day when he returns and will complete it. The next thing I wanted to draw your attention to in this James chapter is how he gives three examples of patience. The farmer, the prophet, and Job. The farmer, he says, has got to be patient for the land to yield its valuable crop. No crop comes up overnight except weeds. So no farmer can control the weather. He plants the seed that God has given him to plant, but only God can make it grow, and he knows it. A farmer can't bring about rain or sun. Worrying about it's not going to do anything. Complaining over it won't help. And not planting only ensures zero harvest. So it takes faith to be a farmer. There's so much out of your control. You got to trust God and wait on the harvest. But God is faithful. James is saying, likewise, we're to be spiritual farmers, planting seeds of God's word and trusting Him for the harvest to come. Not giving up, knowing that God is producing a harvest in your life. He provides and He will look after it. I've always loved 2 Timothy 4:2, which says, preach the word in season and out of season with great patience and careful instruction. We don't know what's going on in people's lives. We don't know what's going to change their heart. We can't change one, but God can. So He says, just preach the word in season and out of season. And then He says, for a time is coming when people won't listen to sound doctrine and will instead follow whatever their itching ears want to believe. But Paul says, but you keep your head and endure hardship and continue on in the work of the Lord. There's so much we can't control, but we can do the little things that God has asked us to do. And like a farmer, leave it with God. I like how James in the farmer example says, and don't grumble against one another. This really spoke to me, not because farmers are grumblers, but because every one of us, when stressed, can lose our patience with each other. We can take it out on each other. But really, we're worried or upset about something else, something that God hasn't done yet. We're impatient with God, and it leads us to impatience with others. We're frustrated or afraid and taking it out on other people. But we got to learn to leave it with the Lord. Besides a farmer, James also mentions the prophets as an example of patience. For the prophets spoke for God and what God told them to say, and yet they were persecuted for it. And many died before ever seeing the promises fulfilled. Talk about patience. The fruit would come after their lifetime. James says, learn from the prophets. The devil will come and tempt us in the waiting. He fills our heads with, see, God doesn't care about you. He isn't going to come through. You're going to have to do something. If you really, you know, if God really loved you, this wouldn't be happening. Just do what's best for you. Don't bother. Nobody cares anyway. All these thoughts are going to come creeping in. This was the temptation of the prophet Elijah, what he had to face in 1 Kings 19. Even after a victory over the prophets of Baal, God's people continued down the wrong path, and he was discouraged by this. In fact, he ran away and he wanted to end his life over this. He thought his life was a big failure because the whole nation hadn't turned around. But God came to him and basically told him he wasn't a failure. The road is just tough, but he has reserved for himself 7,000 people who had not bowed to Baal. And so God told Elijah, don't give up, just go back. And then God gave him a few things to do, and Elijah kept on even in the tough times. The prophets are good examples because they often suffered on both sides. The pagans hated them, and also God's people hated them because they often told God's people what they were doing was wrong. But God was faithful. He watched over Elijah in the desert and provided for him. He was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with Joseph in jail. He was with Paul too. And even the jailers would come to faith. So James says, consider the prophets and be patient. And the final example James gives of patience is Job. And that's a tough one. Job had to endure so many griefs and losses in life. But the message of Job is really how we try in our understanding to understand why these things are happening, but we can't. But how God is with us in the sufferings, and we can trust that He always will be. And God often reserves a blessing for those who endure the tough things. James says in verse 11, the blessing comes to those who persevered. Warren Wisby said, there can be no victory without battle, no peak without valleys. If you want to know Him more, you got to walk with Him where He goes, into the deeper places. Blessings come from trials. New life out of death. Through the cross, we find the resurrection. When we die, we truly live. Job lost so much. In his sufferings, his friends tried to comfort him and help him understand, but they couldn't console him. Only God could, and God did. And then God redeemed him. He lifts our life from the pit, and He crowns us with love and compassion. For Job, He restored him. It says in Job 42:12, the Lord blessed the latter part of his life even more than the former. So James says, consider Job and see what the Lord finally brought about. For God is full of compassion and mercy. James says, consider the farmer, the prophet, and Job, and be patient. And then the final thing I want to point out today is how the last verse says this. Don't swear, but give a simple yes or no. In a way, I think this verse seems out of place in this section on patience. But then I thought more about it, and I think there's a connection here with integrity and character. People back then used to swear and make an oath that they never intended to keep. They would say, "I swear I'll pay you tomorrow. I swear by the temple or by my family or by God or whatever." But it was all a line. It was all the hidden print at the bottom of the contract. It was fluff. They had no intention of doing what they said. And this was the way of the world. Just do what's best for you. Lies were common, just as they are today. I heard from the last presidential debate that each candidate lied dozens of times. We're so used to lying. I was at the dentist a couple months ago, and the hygienist cleaning my teeth asked me how often I floss. And I don't even know why I said it. I said a couple times a week. I don't floss a couple times a week, maybe a couple times a year. But as I walked out to my car, Bob brought that to my mind. And I thought, why would I lie about that? Who cares what the hygienist thinks? I could have said, I don't really floss. Why did I say twice a week? I lied. Pastor Dan lied. I broke God's command over something stupid. But we can and we do. We can all exaggerate. We can make ourselves look better. We can not want to deal with what we must. We can say what we think others want to hear. We can divert attention. We can puff ourselves up. We can promise that which we can't deliver. James is just saying that in this world, we must be patient, keeping our eyes on the Lord's return. And as we wait, we must be a person of integrity and honesty. Even in times when we're stressed and worried, just let our yes be yes and our no be no. Just be honest and be real. Just follow through. Just show up. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on the prize, and the judge is standing at the door. Hold tight to his promises and know he who promised is faithful. His yes to us always means yes, and his no means no. So let's be like our God. May our yes mean yes and our no mean no, that this world might see him in us. I hope you have a great rest of your Sunday and a great week. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.